The Water Values Podcast is sponsored by the following market-leading companies and organizations: Intera, Geoscience and Engineering Solutions; Xylem, Let's Solve Water; the American Water Works Association, dedicated to the world's most important resource; Black & Veatch, building a world of difference; and Ziptility, helping utilities capture more, better, and accurate data from the field. This is session 161.
Welcome to the Water Values Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to water utilities, resources, treatment, reuse, and all things water. Now here's your host, Dave McGibson.
Hello and welcome to 2020 and to another session of the Water Values Podcast. As my daughter Sarah said, my name is Dave McGimsey and thank you so much for joining me. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday and New Year's celebration. Do we have a terrific show for you today? George Hawkins is our guest, and does he deliver the goods? George is so enthusiastic about the water industry, and it was my privilege to sit down with him at the One Water Summit in Austin not too long ago. George's passion really comes through in this interview, and we'll get to that in a moment, but it's a great one. You probably noticed at the top of the show, it was a little bit different today. Yes, the Water Values Podcast has sponsors for the 2020 calendar year. So thank you very much to our sponsors. And I'd like for you to do me a favor. If you work for or with any of the sponsors, thank your boss or thank your contact at that sponsor's firm and tell them that you appreciate their leadership in the industry through the sponsorship. If you're interviewing for a job with one of the sponsors, again, please thank them and let them know your appreciation for supporting this kind of thought leadership. Podcast metrics are really hard to deal with, and because it's hard to tell who's listening unless you, the listener, take action, I'd really appreciate it if you let the sponsors know and thank them for sponsoring the Water Values Podcast. Again, those sponsors are Intera, Xylem, the American Water Works Association, Black & Veatch, and Ziptility. And as long as you're letting the sponsors know you appreciate their support of water industry education and thought leadership, why not leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever other podcast directory you access the podcast on? That would be greatly appreciated and will help others find out about the podcast. So please leave that rating and review. Much appreciated. Well, before we get to our feature interview with George Hawkins, it's time for another session of Bluefield on Tap. So here's a quick hit on the action in digital water with Rhys Tisdale of Bluefield Research. Take it away. Well, Rhys, welcome to a new year of Bluefield on Tap. How you doing?
I'm good, Dave. How about yourself?
Doing. Yeah, that's right. 2020, first of the year. It's a big year for the Water Values Podcast. We've got sponsors now. And it's also, from what I've been reading, going to be a big year in the digital water space. So can you talk a little about digital water and what kind of the current state of the market is?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I guess I'll do my own plug here, is Bluefield's plug. We got a report coming out on the U.S. water market coming out pretty soon, which is, I guess, pretty timely. That's not why I wanted to talk about this. I think one of the things that was interesting, we've been looking at, for those who don't know, we've been looking at venture capital, private equity investment into the water space, more specifically digital water. And I think there's an interesting trend that we see happening, which I don't know if it's not, maybe it's not all that surprising, but it is interesting to see in 2019, at least to date, so I guess that was running up into the fourth quarter, we're sort of rounding out numbers now, but 57% of or about $119 million was going to non-municipal water-related investments, which is interesting. We sort of broke out where these investments are going, municipal or non-municipal. That's kind of a, I don't know if that's a good signal or bad at this point. I think what's interesting is that there's some indication that the municipal sector, the pace of change is not as fast as investors would like, for one. I think secondly, maybe the need is not as, you know, as great as everybody anticipated in the near term. And that is, you know, when you weigh that with how quickly things can be executed, new projects, technology adoption, that sort of raises a red flag. And so where are the dollars going? We've seen a fair amount of deals that are going to smart home water management. We've already seen that in the power sector with Nest thermostats, Ecobee, and other home-related systems, whether, you know, Ring doorbells. So when you start tying that, and if you start adding water to that, it becomes maybe even a more compelling opportunity going forward.
Interesting. You know, I gave a talk to the Association of Environmental Authorities in New Jersey a couple of years ago. And one of the things that I said was, you know, look, utilities, you need to create the bond with your customer, because if you don't, someone else will find a way to create that bond or go after that. And that kind of sounds a little about what you're talking about here with homeowners or customers taking their water, their water supply into their own hands.
Yeah, I mean, a part of it, I think DC Water is a good example. I know everybody looks at them, but I think, you know, when you think about them, part of it is just education, and there are different ways to educate your customer. One, you can send them emails, you can do direct mail education, you can set up YouTube videos that are ridiculous, but eye-catching or ear-catching. But I think the other way is making them understand what's the value of their, what's the cost of their water, what are they spending, and where, how is their water being used, and do they have a leak or not? Are their toilets flowing, or do they have a leak? Do their appliances use too little water, and so on and so forth. I agree with you completely. I think it gets back to the broader story about water, municipal water infrastructure as a whole, and that is that it's out of sight, out of mind, right? I think I was speaking, it was surprising, speaking to someone recently, a journalist, a high-profile journalist, and I'm not, who will remain nameless, but I was talking to them, heavily involved in infrastructure and the ongoings of, you know, infrastructure in the world today. And his comment to me was, oh, I just turn on the water. That's all I really think about. Nothing else. So I think that's a little scary in the sense that you're already paying for it, but also you do rely on it. When the lights don't work, the lights don't work. You obviously notice it. When the water, you know, whether you're getting high quality water or not, you don't always see that.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up an interesting point. First off, that's a first, I think, in history where the interview subject keeps the journalist's name confidential, doesn't reveal a source. but second, I think you're on something here in terms of utilities needing to engage their customers more. I mean, one of the things I've been thinking of is not only just direct customer engagement, but indirect customer engagement through like kids going into the high schools, going into the middle schools and elementary schools and developing programs where, you know, get those kids on a field trip to the water treatment plant or the wastewater treatment plant. So those kids kind of understand from an early age what's going on and, you know, kind of keep some of that education going along the lines. And then by the time those kids grow up and get to be real customers in their own right, they'll have a greater appreciation for what's